of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The Millionaire Maker, Hillary Kramer, Travel with Valerie Delia, Nicole Sapphire, MD, Senior Medical Contributor to Fox News Channel, and Physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Medical Center. Legal expertise by Arthur Idala, Attorney to the Stars, and Christine Nicholas, the quintessential heartbeat of New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York.
Yes.
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 Members of the jury, I find that the verdicts as read reflect the will of the jury and will be filed accordingly.
All right, that was strange. We covered up Lonnie Perkins there. But that was the jury that said yes to all three counts. And they convicted Derek Chauvin this week. And I've been looking forward to the conversation we're going to have this hour all week long, because we've got America's most desired attorney, the guy that everybody, when Alan Dershowitz, the chairman emeritus of the Harvard Law School, says, I need an attorney, he calls Arthur Idala, who is with us tonight. And Arthur, I always appreciate your time. I'm very grateful because you're very busy. You're sometimes working in the office on cases till well after midnight. And the fact that you take an hour out of your week to be with us is just remarkable. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, since you brought that up, let's just start with this. The night of the verdict, I stayed in my office late. I was doing a lot of media appearances. And when I left my office in Midtown Manhattan, there was at least one, but usually two police officers on every corner for the 10 blocks that I walked. And I stopped and at every corner, and I thanked those police officers for what they do, their job that is not very enviable right now. I don't know how many people are signing up. I can tell you I heard former Commissioner Bill Bratton say that there's a problem with recruitment because of how police officers have, the target all of a sudden is on their back. So, you know, here in New York City, I think we're a little luckier than other places in the country, because I think we have really a phenomenal police force.
We have the best, no doubt.
Right,
yeah.
And you know, the fact is they really got beat up on the TV, you know, because of the Chauvin guy who was a criminal defendant who committed a crime. He's been convicted of a crime, the crime of murder. But, you know, we shouldn't now indict all the police departments in the United States of America.
Well, let me address that for a second, Arthur, because I appreciate your perspective on this, because you've been a prosecutor and a defense lawyer. You know kind of both sides of the arguments there. But I will say this. Last summer, the country largely, but New York specifically, paid for the crimes of Derek Chauvin in a way that was very unfair. And I mean that by saying this. 30 years ago, when the NYPD had problems and they were really trying to wrestle with what they were going to become, they started instituting reforms that even the Minneapolis Police Department, that just now a year ago decided to wake up and say, oh, we need to make some changes. New York put them in place 30 years ago, and we have had, I think, and I don't apologize for this. If Black Lives Matter people are listening to me tonight and they're upset with me, that's fine. I'll live with it. I think NYPD is the best, most conscientious, lawful police, law enforcement organization out there. And I think they prove that every single day. So I'm glad you did that on your way home that night, because these guys paid a price. Our storefronts paid a price. Our city paid a price for stuff that we had nothing to do with. The actions of this one cop that were condemned unilaterally, from Donald Trump to the mayor of Minneapolis, all across the board, they were condemned. And we paid the price here in New York City. And you know what? Our guys in blue never didn't show up for a single day, no matter what happened after that.
Yeah, and you know, I was here. I was in Manhattan. I during the coronavirus, I did not abandon my post. I tried to lead by example with the troops that I lead. So I was in the office in April and May, and you know, after the George Floyd crime took place, and these poor police officers and African American police officers, Chinese police officers, they're getting spit on, they're getting yelled at, they're getting screamed at. You know, it takes a lot of self-control when you have a baton right there not to whack out the guy who's spitting in your face.
Right.
So, I mean, they really went through a lot. And look, if you want to talk about the trial, I wasn't surprised by the verdict. I think it was the appropriate verdict under the circumstances. I thought the defense attorney, Eric Nelson, did a very good job. I can't say there was one big argument that I noticed that he missed. And people think I'm crazy maybe saying this, but that guy, that defense attorney, he's a hero in my eyes. And again, what do you mean? He's a defense attorney. He's trying to get this murderer off. But first of all, he's not getting anyone off because they're not on, right? It's a presumption of innocence. It's the prosecutor's job at a trial to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. But you can't, you know, I made a joke the other day on the morning show, Episcopal's morning show. You can't make Sunday gravy if you don't have the garlic or you don't have the meat.
That's true.
Well, you know what? You can't have a criminal justice system if you don't have a person who's willing to stand there next to someone who's really vilified in a uniform way, which you just alluded to, from Donald Trump to the governor of Minnesota. And yet, you know, he's standing there working his tail off. He's up against 16, 17 prosecutors. And that's what makes America great. And people have to remember that, is that someone who is as vilified as the police officer Chauvin was, you know, death threats to the medical examiner who didn't write a report that said, oh, yes, he was definitely killed by the knee to the neck. The medical examiner wrote what he found to be true, which is he felt that it was more about a heart attack than asphyxiation. Kevin, they had to erect a wall, a barbed wire fence around the medical examiner's office because the protests were so severe, they were threatening his life because he didn't reach the conclusion that they wanted him to reach. And, you know, so we have to keep in perspective what our criminal justice system is all about. And there are many players and many roles. And I would have to say I was proud of the system in this particular case. I thought the judge did a very admirable job. I thought so did the defense attorney, Eric Nelson. And I thought the prosecutors did not over-try the case. They weren't overzealous. I think they presented the evidence in a fair way. And then the jury, look, they made fast work. I mean, a trial of this magnitude, and they basically came back after one day of deliberations. I think it actually all worked very well.
Well, and you know what's interesting about that is I spoke with Andy McCarthy, who you've known, Southern District prosecutor for years and now a senior contributor to the National Review. And he said, you know, Kev, when you come back with such a swift decision, whether it's for acquittal or whether it's for guilt, the evidence has to be fairly compelling. And there just didn't seem to be a lot of debate about this. And I think the reason that the prosecutors didn't have to go very hard, to be candid, was that we all knew there were 10 minutes of video out there of a guy sitting on someone's neck who ended up dying at the end of the 10 minutes. Like, I don't even know if it mattered if there were drugs in his system or not, which, you know, there were less drugs in his system than what we were told by some of the rumor mills. And at the end of the day, I think what I'm happy about, Arthur, is that tonight Americans can go to bed and they can know that race really isn't the overriding factor that we have been told and bullied that it is for the last year. We burned down half of America's big cities because we were told that race wasn't going to get a fair hearing in this case. And it seems that the jury proved them wrong because there were 6 whites, 4 African Americans, and 2 mixed race people on that jury. It seems like that the system worked, at least in this case. We will talk much more about this, by the way, friends. And we've got phone lines open. We're live. We're glad to take your call, 877-970-2999. You've got America's most sought-after attorney on the line with us. He can answer your questions, 877-970-2999. For those of you that called last night, by the way, and didn't make it onto the show, my personal apologies. We had a production breakdown in the studio. That will not happen tonight. 877-970-2999, 877-970-2999. Your reaction to the legal analysis of the Chauvin verdict and what it means for our city and for our country when we come back. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. As someone who loves his family like little else in this life, I just want you to know that the process of buying a home for that family can be stressful, but you probably already know that. Having the right lending team in place, though, does help ease that stress. The lending experts at Citizens Bank, for example, can answer your questions about how to get started. They've got customer service that is second to none because they treat every customer as if they're the only customer. Ace and his team prioritize New York, New Jersey metro area because they want to give you the best rates possible. They are committed to putting our colleagues, community, shareholders, and families first. Because when you succeed, they succeed. My family and I look no further than the lending experts at Citizens Bank. Take the first step today and apply on citizensbank.com. That's citizensbank.com. Or call them. You'll enjoy the conversation. 212-857-6668. 212-857-6668 and ask a citizen. There's no other place to go than Citizens Bank. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank, N.A., NLS number 433-960, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO of Wesley Financial Group and timeshare cancellation advocate. I was sued by the largest timeshare company in federal court for simply helping people cancel their timeshare that they had been lied to about. The jury sized me up and came back with a verdict after only 20 minutes. And yes, I won.
My husband and I are more than grateful to everyone at Wesley Financial Group. You know, thanks to Chuck and his team, we feel as though a weight has been lifted and we can move on without the worry of a troublesome timeshare.
Whether you owe $10,000 to $250,000 on your timeshare, it's my mission to get you out of your timeshare, eliminate your payments, and get them off your back permanently.
Give my office a call today. I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare contract or you'll pay nothing.
Get the facts. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-881-4242. That's 800-881-4242. 800-881-4242.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ed Soffin from ProCure Proton Therapy Center located in Somerset, New Jersey. You may be surprised to know that 1 in 7 men will experience a prostate cancer diagnosis in their life. 1 in 7. So if you or a friend or family member are facing prostate cancer, make sure you do your homework before choosing a treatment strategy to understand that in most cases, invasive surgery is not the only option. ProCure's proton therapy offers a customized, safe, and effective treatment option with an exceptional patient experience and no downtime. For more information or take a next step, please visit www.procure.com or call 855-3-PROTON, 855-3-PROTON. Let me or one of my colleagues help you make the right decision. Discover the ProCure difference. Precision therapy, passionate care.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa. Tune in, iHeart, or radio.com. Ben Shapiro doesn't get wrapped up in what others think.
So Joe trotted out there, or hobbled out there, and proceeded to explain that gun violence in the United States is an international embarrassment. I do love it when presidents of the United States talk about how the United States is an international embarrassment. I don't care what the Europeans think of us. After hundreds of years of internecine warfare and then us saving their ass from the Soviets, I really could not care less what the French think of our gun laws. The French can stick it.
The Ben Shapiro Show, weeknights at 5 and 9 on AM 970, The Answer. Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com. And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
I think it's a celebration of our justice system. What is the justice system? It's 12 ordinary Americans who do the right thing.
That was Trey Gowdy, who himself, a former congressman from South Carolina, a very seasoned prosecutor, a very effective prosecutor. He very seldom lost in the courtroom. And he said this verdict was justice by a jury of 12 ordinary Americans. Top-notch defense attorney and former prosecutor, America's most desired attorney. I'm serious. When the chairman emeritus of Harvard Law needs an attorney, he calls Arthur. Arthur Idala is with us tonight. And Arthur, I appreciate your perspective. Let's go back to the trial. And for people that are just, you know, kind of following along here, what do you think were the turning points for the prosecution? Where did they really make their best arguments? And what was it that you think eventually, just sealed the deal for the jury?
Well, I don't want to take away my own thunder about the attorney's etiquette, which we usually do at the end of the segment. But I will tell you this: when I was in the district attorney's office in Brooklyn, the New York Times did a survey, a poll of jurors in the city of New York, and what they found was 80% of jurors said that what their verdict was in their own brain, even though they're not supposed to reach a verdict until they hear all the evidence, but what their verdict was in their own brain after opening statements by both sides turned out to ultimately be their verdict. And
really?
In this case, yeah, and that's why. And I was taught that in the office. I was taught by a great trial lawyer by the name of Michael Vecchione, and he said your opening statements should be as powerful and as passionate as your closing statement. Now, opening statements, you're not allowed to make arguments, but you're allowed to say what the evidence will show and as a defense attorney, what the evidence will not show. And I felt here that I believe his name was Mr. Blackwell, who delivered the opening statement for the prosecutor. He was poised, he was controlled, he was professional. And the way he laid out the way the evidence was going to unfold and showing that video, and that's when he introduced the 9 minutes and 29 seconds. I just thought that from the inception, they had set the table in a way that it was just not going to be able to be deconstructed by the defense attorney. And again, this is by any defense attorney. This is not, I'm not
raining. It was too high of a mountain to climb, period.
They were too high of a mountain. And, it wasn't just the visual. They're like, oh, body cams. Because the body cam, I don't know how much of the audio or if any audio it picks up, to be honest with you. But it was that video by, I believe, the 17-year-old girl who you could hear the audio and you could hear those bystanders basically begging Chauvin to get off of him.
Yeah.
And to me, that was as powerful, if not more powerful, than the visuals. And it's just there are certain pieces of evidence that are too high to get over. And here's the bottom line. Most of the time, like 99% of the time, that's when you try to get a plea as a defense attorney. And here, in fact, they did that. They did that 3 days after the crime took place. They went into the prosecutor's office and said he'll plead to manslaughter and 10 years right now as long as he gets housed in a federal penitentiary where he'll be safe and not a state penitentiary in Minnesota, which we don't think we can guarantee his safety. And my understanding is that the United States Attorney General William Barr said, no, we're not going to house him in one of our facilities. And the state prosecutor said, no, we're not going to take that plea to 10 years. And so they had to go to trial. So there was no surprises here. Another little fact is before the verdict was read, Chauvin wrote down his defense attorney, Eric Nelson's, phone number on his hand.
Right.
So he knew he was not going out the same door that he walked in. So he probably walked into that courtroom when he heard there was a verdict, and he should have looked to his right and looked to his left and say, this is probably the last moments of true freedom that I'm going to have. Because he had a good idea of what the verdict was going to be.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see.
Let me tell you that. Let me give you just a one thing of insider scoop. When you try a case, and the way I was taught by my father, as long as you did your best, as the attorney, you could go to bed at night and say, I did my best. There's nothing more I could have done. And I felt that way as a prosecutor and as a defense attorney. And I was never particularly nervous while the jury was deliberating. But when you get that note, when that bell rings and there's a note, and then the court officer comes out and he hands it to the judge, and the judge looks up and says, "We have a verdict." Boy, oh boy, your heart starts pounding. And, you know, I'm not the defendant. Your heart starts pounding. You start breathing heavy. Your hands start sweating. You're like, okay, let's see what's going to happen. And those moments, you have to talk to your client and prepare him. You have to prepare his or her family for the worst. You're hoping for the best, but you're preparing them for the worst. I tell my clients, look, hug your wife, hug your kids. You may not, you know, the judge may put you right in, et cetera, et cetera. Luckily, I'm usually wrong about that, but I would rather them be ready to hear a lot of bad news and hear good news than vice versa.
Yeah. No, you want to, that's obviously, you want to undersell and then hopefully the better thing happens.
Over deliver, yeah. Right.
Well, so it's interesting because, you know, Arthur, within the time frame of the closing arguments and the verdict being read, you had the Dante Wright shooting in Brooklyn Center, which is 10 miles from where that happened. You had the Adam Toledo shooting in Chicago, which occurred in the, you know, early morning hours. I think it was like 3 a.m. And then you had, as of yesterday, you had the Micaiah Bryant shooting in Columbus. And there's a lot of discussion about how the Chauvin verdict is going to impact these cases of police shootings. And it, I think it would be worth our while to explore them at least a little bit when we come back. Plus, the Manhattan DA has decided to stop doing something that is very much the rule of law, the traditional rule of law in New York City. What did he do? Why did he do it? Arthur Idala will break it all down for us and tell us what it means, essentially, for the quality of life and the quality of the experience of New York City as we're trying to bring our city back. We're trying to bring tourism back, trying to bring people back, trying to do all the things to get our city back on track. Did this decision assist us in that? We will find out from Arthur Idala as we continue on Legal Night on Radio Night Live.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ed Sauvin from Procure Proton Therapy Center, located in Somerset, New Jersey. You may be surprised to know that 1 in 7 men will experience a prostate cancer diagnosis in their life. 1 in 7. So if you or a friend or family member are facing prostate cancer, make sure you do your homework before choosing a treatment strategy to understand that in most cases, invasive surgery is not the only option. ProCure's proton therapy offers a customized, safe, and effective treatment option with an exceptional patient experience and no downtime. For more information or take a next step, please visit www.procure.com or call 855-3-PROTON, 855-3-PROTON. Let me or one of my colleagues help you make the right decision. Discover the ProCure difference, precision therapy, passionate care.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 800-651-0798 and use the promo code AM970 or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listeners square and use promo code AM970. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, my favorite, and MyPillow towel sets. Call 800-651-0798 and use the promo code AM970.
Take AM970 The Answer anywhere you go with our mobile app. Get in on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM970, The Answer.
We have cloudy skies, 46 degrees on this Thursday evening. What's going on? We have the answer.
Well, City Council Speaker Corey Johnson is calling for the resignation of a New York City councilman. Let's get more from Bob Brown.
Brooklyn Councilman Chaim Deutscher pleading guilty to tax fraud. Federal prosecutors say Deutscher filing false and fraudulent returns with the IRS in 2016, ultimately claiming $82,000 in personal and business expenses. City Council Speaker Corey Johnson is calling on Deutscher to resign from his position. Deutscher, representing the 48th District, which includes Brighton Beach and Sheepshead Bay. The 52-year-old councilman was released on a $10,000 bond. He's scheduled for sentencing on July 29th. Bob Brown, NBC News Radio, New York.
Jersey City, New Jersey students will be heading back to their classroom after all, reversing a decision to stay all remote. Scott Pringle explains.
Well, at the start of this week, the Jersey City School Board announced it would be all remote for the rest of the school year. Well, that prompted mixed reactions, but the mayor, along with many parents, were very critical of this decision. Now, a letter went out to parents yesterday saying a hybrid model will go into effect next Thursday for pre-K through third grade. All other grades will return May 10th. This affects tens of thousands of students. They'll go to school 4 days a week, with Wednesday being remote for cleaning. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
Taking a look at the traffic across the Hudson. Going back to New Jersey, the Holland Tunnel, about a 15-minute wait. Citybound side, 5 minutes. 15 minutes outbound at the Lincoln Tunnel. Inbound, not bad. George Washington Bridge into and out of the city, we're doing okay. One note, though, as you come back to New Jersey at the Lincoln Tunnel, you'll be slow around the Helix on the 495 Viaduct right out towards Kennedy Boulevard. Looks like an accident just before Kennedy Boulevard. Your forecast, partly cloudy skies tonight. Not quite as cold as it was last night. Overnight low 41. Sunshine tomorrow, high 62. A dry day on Saturday, but rain moves in at night with a high of 66. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM970TheAnswer.com.
And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Thank you so much. As we are every single night here on this broadcast, attempting to bring New York back to where it deserves to be, to where it needs to be. You know, we took a lot of pain and suffering from the pandemic and from, I believe, the George Floyd incident that we didn't deserve. I think that our city suffered in ways that we had nothing to do with and no reason at all to be accounted for. And yet we endured that regardless. It kind of speaks to the enduring perseverance of New York City and why we are the greatest city on planet Earth. I totally buy into that 100%. But as we are talking about the legal aspects of the George Floyd incident and really the conclusion of it, I hope that it is. I hope that we don't have any more violence associated with George Floyd. I hope that we have no more pain. I hope we have no more burning buildings. I hope that the Antifa and BLM people in Portland can go home and stop trying to burn the courthouse down there. Like, we got justice. The guy's going to jail. It doesn't replace the family member for the Floyd family. But you know what, Arthur? They said to President Biden before the verdict was read, regardless of the verdict, we want America to respond in peace and in hope. And I thought, what a great American sentiment for a family who lost their loved one to be able to say, regardless of what happens, we want America to be America at its very best on the other side of this.
And that's the way we should all be looking at it. And look, I know, I don't think Kevin McCullough is the president of President Joe Biden's fan club.
Not by a long shot, but right, he did do the right thing by calling for that.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I was going to say. I was very happy that before the verdict, you know, he said, look, peaceful protest is what America is all about. But any kind of vandalism, any kind of violence just won't be tolerated. And, you know, I don't know the specifics, but my dad was telling me about this one store. You may know about it, Kevin. This one store somewhere in the area of Minnesota where it was looted in May and destroyed. And the guy basically took his life savings and put it back into the store. And it's been open for a couple of months. And then once again, a couple of days ago. Well, I guess it was after the other young man got killed. They wrecked the store again and destroyed the store again. And these are hard-working people. Like, why? What did that guy, this hard-working man, what does he have to do with the police department, the government, Black Lives Matter? He's just a hard-working guy. You know, it's not right to take those things out on other people, and it shouldn't be tolerated. I mean, they're just criminals. People who are breaking windows and going in and stealing a pair of sneakers, they're not protesters. They're criminals who are taking advantage of a situation, and they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And if I may, speaking of prosecutions, you spoke about this before the break. The Manhattan DA today, Cy Vance, who announced he's not running for re-election, he announced that he's no longer going to prosecute the crime of prostitution. Now, that wave may be all well and good for a state legislature to change the law. But for a district attorney to decide which crimes they're going to prosecute and which crimes they are not going to prosecute, that, in my opinion, that's criminal. I mean, there's no penal law statute that says, you know, a DA is guilty of this crime if they don't prosecute another crime. But, Kevin, that's not the way it's supposed to work. The way it works is this. The people of a state elect their assembly people, their state senators, whatever their legislature is. The legislature makes laws. The people of the state also, or the city or the county, elect their prosecutor. Maybe it's a DA, maybe it's an attorney general. Their job is to enforce the laws that the legislature has put on the books. And it's not whether you like the law, the prosecutor likes the law or doesn't like the law, or thinks it's a good law or a bad law. And I will give you a real-life example. My district attorney in Brooklyn, New York, was Charles Joe Hines. He was a storied DA. He was there for 25 years. He was adamantly against the death penalty. That was not his thing. He didn't believe in it. He didn't think it was the right thing to do. However, when Governor George Pataki became the governor and he had a Republican majority in the Senate, they were able to pass the death penalty, and the death penalty went back on the books. And guess which DA's office prosecuted and sentenced the first person to be executed? The Brooklyn DA's office. Wow. Even though Hines was against it, even though Hines didn't believe in it, he said, well, if this is the law and this is what I'm supposed to do.
Okay, Arthur, hold that thought. We're coming right back. The trumpet is taking us to break. Arthur Idala's with us. It's Legal Night. It's Radio Night Live. Don't go away.
Dr. Sebastian Gorka explains what we need in Washington.
We need another non-politician in the White House. We don't need a decrepit machine politician from Delaware who doesn't know which day of the week it is, who's corrupt, whose son is a drug-addled reprobate. We need Donald Trump back.
America First with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Afternoons at 3, right before Ben Shapiro at 5 on AM 970. The Answer. Brought to you in part by Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law. Whether you need help drafting a will, trust, power of attorney, or health care proxy, their experienced team of attorneys have been helping clients plan their estates for over 30 years. In an era where it's tough to know which news outlet to trust, at a time where it's difficult to find facts, not just opinion, there is an oasis in the news desert. It's the Katz Roundtable. John Catsimatidis, the personification of the American dream, who built a multi-billion-dollar business empire, talks with some of the nation's top newsmakers who are shaping the news cycle in the city, the country, and the world. Catch the Katz Roundtable every Sunday morning, starting at 8 on AM 970. The Answer.
I'm Sanjata Seiko, and I'm proud to be a member of the New Jersey Education Association. To my students, I'm much more than a teacher. I'm a mentor, role model, and sometimes even a father figure. In New Jersey, over half of our students are children of color, yet only 16% of those teachers are. I'm encouraging high school and college students of color to join me. Be a teacher. Make a difference. To learn more, visit njea.org/careers-in-education. This message is sponsored by the New Jersey Education Association, the New Jersey Broadcasters Association, and this station.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
My
Mike Gallagher sees a battle coming.
How do you respond to knowing that almost every major corporation that we do business with is essentially going to declare war, it seems, on states like Georgia and I think 33 others that are trying to provide election transparency? Are you sad about America getting ripped open like this?
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekdays at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
Every Saturday morning at 7, The Auto Lab, the longest-running auto show in New York City, can be heard for a full 2 hours. Host Mike Porcelli and a diverse panel of automotive experts will answer all your basic automotive questions and fill you in on the history and culture of the auto industry. The Auto Lab is on the air and here to help for a full 2 hours. Listen every Saturday morning starting at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.
Craving delicious Italian food? Well, Michael's of Brooklyn is back again. Indoor seating is now available for diners by reservation only, and spaces are limited. Michael's follows all the CDC guidelines to ensure the safety and health of their patrons and employees. Have that signature Italian dish indoors. For reservations, call 718-998-7851. That's 718-998-7851. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
Listen to Joe Piscopo in the morning, weekdays at 6. Mike Gallagher at 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
From New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
Where every single night, we are working very hard to bring our city back, whether it's with your money on Monday nights with Hillary Kramer, the millionaire maker, whether it's telling you how and when and what you're able to do by way of travel with Valerie Delia on Tuesdays, whether it's the latest on COVID and what's going on with the medical and wellness arena of your life with Dr. Nicole Sapphire on Wednesdays, Arthur Idala, of course, on Thursdays and the legal aspects of all things. And then on Fridays, we really kind of cut loose with the fun, food and entertainment aspect, the real joy of the nightlife in New York and what we can do with Christine Nicholas of Nicholas Lentz PR. And so grateful for each of these experts to be with me every single night. But Arthur, before we went to the break, you were telling us about this new statement, I guess, by the Manhattan DA. And this isn't the first one he's made. He said he wasn't going to enforce the drug laws. He said he wasn't going to enforce the broken windows policies. He said he says he's not going to enforce or prosecute the prostitution crimes. And I'm wondering, because you've been on both sides of this, you've been a prosecutor and a defense attorney. What does this do to the general, I don't know, attitude or respect for law in general in our city?
Well, it's definitely not good. I mean, I can tell you in my opinion, look, we're really going 180 from when Rudy Giuliani, came in to be the mayor to clean up New York, because those of us who are old enough can remember. See, that's the thing. These 20-year-old kids who are making all this noise, they don't remember how scary Times Square was. They don't remember, like, you'd go to see a show, the Christmas show at Radio City Music Hall, and then you'd have to either jump in the subway and you have to ride in the car with the conductor because you were scared. And, you know, those little quality of life crimes are the ones that then add up and they build. It's like a snowball. But
right,
we're about to see what happens, because now you can walk down the street and smoke a blunt. And here's the thing with the prostitution. I mean, we won't even get into the moral part of it, but his policy now makes it so ripe for young women to be abused, because this is not going to be regulated. I mean, I am representing clients who want to get into the cannabis industry, okay? So we have been doing a lot of research, and it is going to be insanely regulated. Just so people understand, from when a seed becomes a plant and then it's picked, there's going to be a barcode on it right there and then. And then as it gets broken down, there'll be more barcodes. And a place that dispenses the cannabis will have to have 100% compliance of where every one of those things went and that it was sold to people overage.
Kind of chain of custody is what you're talking about.
Exactly. And it will be instant compliance. So when you go into one of these dispensaries and you buy something and they ring it up, the cash register automatically sends via Wi-Fi, via the cloud, to the government how much was bought and by whom. So it's going to be very regulated. By a prosecutor saying, well, prostitution, I'm not going to prosecute anyone. Well, what happens? Now you got to have the pimps coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
They're going to take the young women, abuse them. It's not the way to go, Kevin.
Arthur, one of my real passions is trying to stop human trafficking. And we know that there's more human trafficking that's going on in the U.S. than what we admit to. And when you have prosecutors who are going to do this, I have to think that this becomes now a prime target for people to say, well, there's a new market for us because we can put girls on the streets right there in Manhattan and make a lot of money off of them. I have to think that the human trafficking element is going to get worse.
It has to. I mean, it's just common sense. And look, that brings another element to it, right? So that around prostitution is usually drugs, because unfortunately these young women usually have to be all on coked up or whatever to be doing these acts. And what happens when you got drugs? You got guns. So now, you know, we're heading down this spiral. And Kevin, I am not anymore a Democrat, a Republican, a liberal, a conservative. I'm a common sense New Yorker who at 53 years old now has some experience, remembers the scary days of the 70s on the subways, saw how Rudy cleaned things up in the 90s, and Bloomberg, God bless him, and with Ray Kelly continuing it throughout. You know, I'm not happy about this, but it's not a district attorney's role to decide which laws are going to be enforced and which ones aren't. That's up to the voters to elect people in the legislature and let them decide, are we going to vote for this? Are we not going to vote for that? So I don't know what the future holds, but I'm not happy. You know, I'm not looking forward to seeing Park Avenue like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And there's women on every street corner soliciting their bodies. I mean, basically.
Well, and you're a dad of a small son now, so you've got even more in the game.
14 and 4.
You got more skin in the game than you had before, and this is real. I'm the same way, you know, 10, 8, and 6. I don't want my kids exposed to this stuff. It's going to be hard. So is there any – so I'm guessing I know the answer to my own question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there any way that if the mayor or anyone else wanted to put pressure on Cy Vance to kind of relent this policy that they could do so?
Is there any accountability? That's a great question. Well, that's a great question. I will tell you, look, where the power is always in the purse, right? So what the mayor can say is, okay, you don't want to prosecute that? I'm going to cut your budget drastically. Now, it's kind of cut your nose to spite your face, but he could do it the other way. If you do prosecute it, I'm going to give you additional money. And real quick, inside baseball, Bloomberg had a breakfast years ago with the five district attorneys at Gracie Mansion, and he told them, if you promise me that everyone who gets caught with a gun will get a minimum 2-year jail sentence, I will give you X, Y, and Z. And it was all above board. It all had to do with their budgets.
Sure.
I think it had to do with they were going to be able to keep some more of their forfeiture money, which usually they give to the city, so they can run a better office. And they all adhered to it. They all kind of made a breakfast pact that this is what we're going to do. And it worked. Guns were taken off the street in droves. So I don't know. I don't know what
it was. It wasn't
walking out the door.
It wasn't the five families. It was Bloomberg and the five DAs, and they all committed
DAs,
to what needed to have happened.
That's why Plexico Burress, who just won the Super Bowl for the New York Giants, but he not only did he get caught with a gun, the gun discharged.
Right. No, well,
himself,
yeah.
And he still did 2 years in jail.
Well, okay. So here's what we need to do, friends. We need to help Mayor de Blasio encourage that kind of incentive for Cy Vance. Look, I know I'm basically smoking a pipe dream here, but we'll see what we can do. Anyway, when we come back, Esquire's Etiquette for the Week from Arthur Idala. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm Dr. Ed Sauvin from ProCure Proton Therapy Center located in Somerset, New Jersey. You may be surprised to know that 1 in 7 men will experience a prostate cancer diagnosis in their life. 1 in 7. So if you or a friend or family member are facing prostate cancer, make sure you do your homework before choosing a treatment strategy to understand that in most cases, invasive surgery is not the only option. ProCure's proton therapy offers a customized, safe, and effective treatment option with an exceptional patient experience and no downtime. For more information or take a next step, please visit www.procure.com or call 855-3-PROTON, 855-3-PROTON. Let me or one of my colleagues help you make the right decision. Discover the ProCure difference. Precision therapy, passionate care.
Hey, it's Joe Fiscopo. My friends over at Route 22 Toyota want me to remind you that if you're tired of dealing with dummies, get over to the state-of-the-art service facility in Hillside, New Jersey, please. Alex Kinsella has the entire team staying safe, wearing masks, socially distancing, fogging vehicles with every single service to make sure they're disinfected. At Route 22 Toyota, they always get it right. They're doing their part to stay safe. Plus, right now, Route 22 Toyota is offering qualified buyers more reasons than ever to get into a new Toyota, like 0% APR. APR financing up to 5 years and zero down leases on some of your favorite Toyota models. Call 855-621-9949 for details and make sure to tell them Joe sent you. 855-621-9949 to schedule a test drive, and Route 22 Toyota will get you driving a new Toyota with 0% interest or zero down leases. Now that is the smart way to buy. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend, Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again, introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 800-651-0798 and use the promo code AM970, or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listeners square and use promo code AM970. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, my favorite, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 800-651-0798 and use the promo code AM970.
Listen to AM970, The Answer, on Alexa. Tune in, iHeart, or radio.com. Larry Elder is next on AM970, The Answer. Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
All right, very glad to have you with us, and very thankful for all of the very diligent work that all the participants in this broadcast bring to the table every night. And Arthur Idala, no exception. In fact, we've got some things, we can't announce them yet, but we're looking forward to doing some things that are going to really impact the city in terms of its future in the weeks to come. And Arthur's already agreed to be involved in that. We appreciate that. And Arthur, every week you bring to the table what we call the Esquire's Etiquette. It's basically tips for people that are approaching legal needs in their lives. And you've been obsessed with the Chauvin trial. All of your staff, I've seen so many of your people all over different media networks and talking. And I mean, you guys really had a very high profile in this whole thing. What are you going to bring to us tonight?
Well, look, when people come to a law firm, it's usually, not always, but it's either the most important thing in their life or amongst the most important thing in their
very
life.
Very close, if not the number one.
Right. I mean, I'm not minimizing, you know, what anyone else does, but, you know, when you walk into an architect's office and you want to put an addition on your kitchen, you know, that's important, but it's not as important as to who you leave your estate to when you die. And, you know, you want to make sure your kids or your grandkids are taken care of. Or, you know, if you're buying your first house and this is your life savings. So it's usually pretty important stuff. And to be honest with you, Kevin, I've been a client, and in not the most pleasant circumstances, but it was a tremendous learning experience for me. It was a family issue, but it was a tremendous learning issue for me to see what a client feels like, because it was an area of law that I wasn't particularly familiar with. And there were just a lot of foreign terms, you know, stuff I heard in law school, but law school and real life are very different, I'll tell you that.
Sure.
So what I would tell any of your listeners who will be a client of any lawyer on any issue, probably one of the things I hear often is when I get them on the phone or they're in my office is, there's so many questions I have and I can't remember them all. I can't think of them now. So if you're going to hire a lawyer, whether it's for your house closing or someone's in trouble or you're doing estate planning, whatever the important issue that it is in your life, you should have a pad and a piece of paper or the notes section on your iPhone or whatever it is, and jot down whatever the questions that you have are. Don't Google them. Don't, you know, Facebook them. Jot them down, and then ideally you set a time to speak to your lawyer and a particular time of the week. So, Mr. Idala, can we talk, you know, every Friday at 4 o'clock for 10 minutes? And even if you're paying a lawyer by the hour, those 10 minutes can be used so much more efficiently than if you just go into a meeting and you're rambling on and you can't remember and you can't think of this and you can't think of that. You know, a lawyer is a tool for the client, and you need to use that tool properly or it's not efficient. So if you use the wrong side of the hammer, it's a lot harder to put the nail in than if you use the proper side of the hammer. So it's the same thing with a lawyer and a law firm. And to know when to speak to the lawyer about it, or when to speak to the lawyer's assistant about it, or whether to speak to the partner about it or an associate about it, just, you know, put some thought into it. And ideally, you'll have some sort of a regular conversation with the attorney, with your piece of paper or your notes section on your iPhone, and say, here are the questions I have. How much money do you think I'm really going to need at the house closing? Do I need to be there, or can we do it through a power of attorney? The checks I have to bring, can they be personal checks or do they have to be bank checks? All these types of questions that you might have that you may, quote unquote, forget about when you're, you know, in the middle of a conversation. But if you have them written down, then you won't forget about them. And it sounds kind of like, oh, come on, Arthur, this is your big etiquette. But as I said, Kevin, so many people talk to me, I'm like, oh my God, I had so many questions I want to ask you, and now I forget about them, because sometimes I think they get nervous when they speak with me, because it is the most important thing in their life.
Sure.
And especially when I'm handling the criminal matters. And so, you know, they get all frozen up, so to speak. So you should have a relationship with your attorney where there's a good back and forth. There's a lot of communication, because it all ultimately boils down to communication. And then once you feel that your lawyer has answered your questions and you understand what's going on, to most part, you should probably just step to the side and let your money work for you and let that lawyer do their job. If you trust them, you've selected them for a reason, and then step to the side and let your lawyer do their thing. Again, that doesn't mean you should just shut down and not pay attention. Of course you should pay attention. It's your life. It's your house closing. It's your personal injury case. But use your lawyer. Use that tool the best way you possibly can.
That makes so much sense, Arthur. And I got to tell you, as someone who for much of my life was able to just, you know, shoot from the hip and kind of figure things out as I went along, it took me a lot longer in my life to figure out that I needed to keep a little notebook with me and keep things written down that I needed to, you know, have focus on. But once I started doing that, it was like my whole life changed. And to be able to organize my thoughts before a meeting, to organize what I'm going to do before a show, all of that stuff, it just makes so much more sense. Why wouldn't it make sense when you're meeting with your attorney where, let's face it, it's like a cab with the meter running. It's running when you're there. So make the time useful, not something that just wanders all over the place. Great stuff tonight, Arthur. Always appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Kevin. It was a hell of a week this week, so I'm glad we got to almost wrap it up together.
Incredible, indeed. And friends, stay with us tomorrow night. Christine Nicholas right here. We're going to have a lot of fun. Don't miss it.